Welcome to The Legality, and I'm your host, Lisa Bonner. If you're a former listener to our podcast, The Laws of Entertainment, welcome back to our expanded platform. And if you're new here, thanks for joining in. This is the podcast where I spill the tea on all things legal, political, pop culture, and tech. If it's in the zeitgeist, we're talking about it. And we're chatting it up with some of the industry thought leaders, presidents, CEOs, and behind the scenes movers and shakers who shape our world of entertainment. I guarantee you will walk away a little more entertained and a lot more informed. So join us here each week with me and my guests as we chop it up and spill the tea right here on The Legality. Welcome to The Legality, Tanya.
Well, thank you.
And I am your host, Lisa Bonner. As I say all the time, I have dope-ass friends, and you are no exception, and we try and get everybody on here, and we can talk and enlighten our listeners.
Okay.
So anyway, I wanted to talk to you because you are such a Renaissance woman, wow. and we have been friends for so long, and I'm just honored at this opportunity to talk to you.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about what's going on.
Good. You know? Okay. So let's give our listeners a little bit of an overview of who you are.
Okay.
So Tanya, aside from being my friend
for 20 plus years,
exactly, right. Is a writer, producer, entrepreneur, advocate. And Tanya, you have been hard at work for producing content for over 20
Which
years.
Which is so crazy.
Yeah, right?
I mean, it sounds insane when you
I know,
say
it's
that.
Like, what?
I don't feel old enough for that to have been the case.
And then plus I know your kids, and I
right.
knew you before you had kids.
Them. And they're grown.
It girl. Crazy, right?
Yeah, it is.
But you do this across many platforms.
Yeah.
Film, television, books, online. I mean, you do it. You name it, you do it. Through storytelling and everything, you have entertained us. So I am just so glad to talk to you. Tanya's most recent television production is She's Gotta Have It,
right.
Which is coming back in May,
yeah, May 24th.
And
on Netflix.
On Netflix, that's
out.
Right. All right. And you've got some really good news. Your most recent film that people might know as Monster.
Right.
Which has been retitled to All Rise.
All Rise.
It will be released in the fall,
yes.
In theaters in 2019.
Yeah, September 27th.
Oh, wow. Okay, so we'll hope you come back and talk to us
for
about
sure,
that.
For sure.
So you have produced television, starting with scripted and unscripted.
Yeah.
Starting with Miracles Boys,
right.
Which was so good. It was a 6-part television series, and also the Watsons Go to Birmingham,
right.
On the Hallmark Channel.
Yep, exactly.
I remember that. That was really good.
Yeah.
And that was based on the Christopher Paul Curtis novel,
exactly.
Of the same name. And you are also a best-selling author,
yeah.
Of what, 4 novels?
Well, 3 children's books
and
1 novel.
Yes. Okay. Please, Baby, Please.
Right.
Please, Puppy, Please, and Giant Steps to Change the
exactly.
World. I tell y'all, she's changing the world, y'all. And Gotham Diaries,
exactly.
With our girl, Crystal McCrary.
Exactly.
And so, but anyway, you are also a healthy lifestyle advocate,
right.
And you have a line of vitamins,
exactly.
Melvita. Well, we will get into all of that, but
sure.
This started with your documentary, Crisis from the Crib, which was explored the issues of infant mortality.
Correct.
Okay,
exactly.
So we're going to get into all of that,
right.
And you are also a fellow barrister.
I am.
Yes.
Reform
kind of. Girl. Child, I'm trying to get in. I'm trying to be your way, the reform barrister.
Yes.
But you know, I use this platform to inspire our listeners.
Hey, and it's a good skill to have.
Thank you. It is. And that's what I wanted to really talk to you about. So take us back to law school. Did you always want to be a lawyer?
You know, I really thought about going into television production as I was graduating from mm-hmm. undergrad. But the truth is, I didn't really know how
yeah.
to get into it. And you know, when I was younger, I used to blame my parents, because my parents, you know, smartly were like, look, you need to go to law school or business
yeah.
school to have something.
That's that old Midwest upbringing
exactly.
that we have. Yeah.
And, you know, and it was a good advice
mm-hmm.
Because I guess I wasn't ready yet,
yeah.
you
yeah.
know. So I went to law school
mm-hmm.
thinking that I would be a civil rights lawyer.
Oh.
But ended up practicing corporate law. And
in D.C., correct.
In D.C.,
uh-huh.
yep. And then as soon as I saw a way out of that, I got out of that and, you know, moved into doing my creative world.
That is smart. So the lawyering, was that a pathway? Do you think that helped you? Was it the analytical skills, the drafting, the writing?
Well, I do think the discipline, the organization, I think, you know, being able to research and, you know, track ideas down and tell stories. I mean, I think lawyers are often are telling stories in the work that they do.
Correct.
So there are, hopefully most of them are
true stories, right.
But I do think that there are skills that I honed as a lawyer that I could definitely use in my creative work.
And what was your best takeaway from law school, and how did that help you become the creative genius that you are?
That's an interesting question. I don't know that a takeaway from law school.
Or lawyering. Was it the, like you said, the discipline, the draft?
I also think the researching, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, in all of, you know, the writing and what work I do, you know, there's a lot of research before getting down to it, even if it's fiction.
Right.
You know, and just, you know, having that and having the discipline and the organization, I think, is really key and important.
And they, you know, really, that is one of the things that we definitely learn. We learn how to write.
Exactly.
We learn how to organize our thoughts, whether it's IRAC or just being able to issue spot and tell a story. Because like you said, we are telling a story, whether it's transactional or litigation or 100%. What have you, we are always telling a story. So you began actually writing novels.
Actually, the children's book came first. Please, Baby, Please. But it's funny because, you know, after I got married and I moved from D.C. to New York, Spike was very supportive of me finding my creative voice.
Oh, and for our listeners, I know Tanya is Tanya. So let me just dial back a second.
Right, well,
Spike Lee is her husband.
Right.
So that's who she's talking about in terms of Spike. Okay, go ahead.
Who was very supportive of... you know, he knew at the time I was trying to start a magazine. Mm-hmm. I was working on a Black entertainment magazine. And, you know, I was working on it when I was a lawyer at night. And then once I got married, he was very supportive of that. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get that up and off the ground.
Right.
But during that time, I started writing just for my own edification to sort of work on the craft.
Right.
And I would get up early in the morning and write for several hours a day, work that I never showed anybody, that I would be embarrassed to show anybody, but it was just about developing the craft.
Like Shonda Rhimes says, if you want to be a writer, write.
Exactly.
You got to write. Whether, like you said, whether you show it to anybody or not, you just have to have that discipline.
You do. And that's the only way you get better at it.
Right.
You know? And then so out of that came the idea for the children's book, you know, came the work for the children's books. And then at the same time, some of the producing I was doing at Nickelodeon on smaller projects.
Okay, yeah, we're going to get to that in a second. So so that was your pathway into, in the entertainment space. And speaking of Nickelodeon, you were producing interstitial programming there?
Exactly.
Okay, so let's talk about that because a lot of people really probably don't know what the interstitial programming is, but it's a short form program.
Yeah, it's almost like you think of it as a public service announcement.
Yes. And so how did that foundation of producing interstitial programming, which is a short form program, prepare you for the longer form content that you produce right now?
Well, I also want to back up and say the way I even got to Nickelodeon.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Because I had been at my law firm in D.C. I had a guy who was a year ahead of me, who was at my firm, and we were friends, and he was like a mentor to me. And he had left the firm and ended up at Nickelodeon.
Okay.
And I was talking to him, and I said, you know, listen, I really think I'm interested in producing. Mm-hmm. You know, he said, well, why don't you come in for an exploratory interview?
Oh, okay.
And so I came in, and I had a first general conversation. They knew I had not produced before.
Right.
But they, you know, they were very open to my ideas around, and they were Black History Month interstitials.
Yep.
And so, you know, they gave me a chance, a little bit of money, the mentorship of some of their people there, and said, go make something.
Mm.
And it was great.
What was the first thing you made?
So I think the first one was Black History is American History, and I had Savion Glover, Gregory Hines.
You started off out the box with some big names.
I was very lucky, yeah. You know. And they were fantastic, and they were happy to do it, mm-hmm. you know, because it was about bridging history with present day life for young people. Mm-hmm. Like, and people were happy to sign up for that. I had a Tuskegee Airman. Mm. Really, really great stuff. And so, and then started doing longer form things with them from there. And so I would say that doing the shorter form, I mean, in any kind of production is production. Mm-hmm. If you have a small budget, if you have a big budget, it's similar issue. So it just gets a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. And that's good because, I mean, you touched on a couple of things that I really want to talk about for the listeners is you talked about the importance of mentoring.
Right.
Someone taking a chance on you. But again, you know, one of the things that I like to say is, you know, you were prepared. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is how success comes about. When you, an opportunity mm-hmm. meets preparation. Mm-hmm. And it's not like you were saying, hey, you know, take a chance on me. It's like, I am, you know, green. Everybody needs to start somewhere.
Exactly.
And that's the thing that, you know, I think is so important for our listeners to really understand is that, you know, this has been where you are now has been an evolution.
100%.
And, you know, and where I am now and every, you know, we don't just start off just out the box like this.
Exactly.
And people really think today in this Insta society with, you know, Instagram, email, everybody wants something immediately.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's important for everybody to realize that you have to start somewhere.
Well, and exactly to your point. I mean, I started off with small little 30-second interstitials, mm-hmm. you know, figuring out how to do it.
Yeah.
And which has grown into, you know, budgets of multiple millions of mm-hmm. dollars and you know, big, much bigger productions. Yeah. But it didn't, like you said, it didn't just start out like
right.
that.
And also the second takeaway from that was the importance of mentoring.
Exactly.
And having someone who really honestly believes in what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But because you are already prepared and honest about it, listen, I need to start somewhere.
Right.
You know, so it's one of those things where, you know, it's very, very important.
And yeah. I think, you know, being a lawyer.
Yes.
Having practiced law also gave people a sense that I know how to manage business.
Oh, God.
You know.
Girl, say it again. I mean,
so,
yes.
It also was like yes. I didn't just pop up.
That's right.
You know, like, hey, give me a shot just because.
Right.
It's like, okay, here's a woman who, you know, is a New York State barred attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Who is starting. And it's funny because even in that, for me.
Yeah.
Coming from that.
Yes.
Working at a major law firm,
mm-hmm.
quote unquote, down.
Yes.
To Nickelodeon
yes.
saying, I don't know anything, mm-hmm. you know, I'm starting all over again. Give me a shot. I mean,
That's it. That's it.
You know what I'm saying? I had a law degree and had been practicing law.
Yeah. And that is another thing that we talked about. And I also talked in a couple episodes ago, I talked to Nicole Denton Randolph, who mm-hmm. is VP of Alternative Content at AMC.
Right.
And she was saying how in every step that she's done, because she started off at Magic Johnson, mm-hmm. but she was a production assistant. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, she went to Magic Johnson, then she went to Starbucks, then she went to AMC. But every time that she started, because it was a growth and it wasn't necessarily something that she built on her success.
Sure.
And this isn't just, you know, her issue. This is everybody. I took a $30,000 pay cut to go from litigation into transactional mm-hmm. law. But and so really taking that opportunity mm-hmm. and being aware that, okay, humbling yourself.
Exactly.
Humbling
exactly.
yourself and being able to really talk about, listen, I don't know, but I am prepared. I have these tools for success.
And I'm going to work really hard.
That's right.
To learn.
That's right. That's it.
And I know the one thing I do know, I know who I can call also to get the information.
That's right.
And you know I can,
yes.
you know, I'll figure it out.
Yes. Yes. You know? And then I just want you to help me and fill in the blanks along
exactly.
the way. Not teach me.
Right.
But help me.
Exactly.
Yes. And so do you give back in mentoring?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, that's a really great question, and I think about it. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things, you know, what does mentoring look
right, like? Right, exactly. It's not always taking somebody by the hand, but it's speaking. This is a mentoring.
Sure. Yeah. And but I do, you know, I do like working with young Black women.
Yes.
And there's a young woman who works with me who, you know, sometimes, you know, we've had our... But I appreciate her, yeah. And I'm hoping she's learning by working around me.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And we have a back and forth in that way. And, you know, I look for opportunities to bring people along.
Yeah.
But I do have an expectation, though, that if you're coming along, you're going to have to bring it. Like, it's not, this is not like, oh, this is cute. You're going to sit around. And by the way, I will say sometimes, like, and I will, sometimes people call and I will go and sit and meet with people.
Right.
But, you know, I admit that sometimes that's a hard thing to do.
Girl, let me tell you. Yes.
I don't have lots of time.
That's it.
You know?
And people don't understand
that
person that is actually asking you, can I pick your brain? That's first of all, the most annoying thing to me, because no, you can't.
Right.
But, you know, you're not the only one that has called to ask me this.
Right.
So, you know, I try and mentor on a macro level versus a micro level. Like, this is mentoring or speaking to a group of students or, you know, giving an interview or something. Because there are takeaways from that. Okay, so let's talk about your writing.
Yeah.
You are a best-selling author. Yes. And your first novel was Gotham Diaries that was based here in New York City, obviously Gotham, with our girlfriend Crystal McCrary. And so tell us about that and tell us about the collaborative process.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I love collaborating.
Yeah.
I mean, writing can be very solitary.
Yeah.
And I enjoy the writing process too. Well, most of the time I enjoy the writing process.
Right.
But I also really do love collaborating with smart people. Mm-hmm. It's just, it can be so much fun.
Right.
And Crystal and I in writing Gotham Diaries had so much fun doing that. That was such a blast.
Right.
And, you know, the way we worked together on that, we brainstormed the book and then we outlined it. And then she took a chapter and would write it. I would write a chapter and then we'd swap them and go over them. And it was just, we had so much fun reading each other's writing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really great.
Yeah. And that's interesting because, you know, I think that is a good way, as you said, because working on a novel or writing is a very solitary.
Right.
But there are ways to make work fun. And I remember when you guys were writing that, y'all had a blast.
Oh, my God. I just remembered, like, being on the phone after having read something she wrote.
Yeah.
Just cracking up so hard.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a good book, y'all. So you should go get the book and read it. It's really, really
good. And I will,
good.
To your point, I think, you know, the way that we collaborated.
Yeah.
Because in order to, you know, make sure there was a singular voice, we did go over each other's writing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we also did each other, you know, we each wrote a chapter.
Right.
So, you know, the work was divided. But it was fun.
Okay, good. And speaking of Gotham Diaries, it is in the process of being optioned.
It is. I mean, my God, the Writers Guild is killing
me. Oh, my God.
Right.
Yes, there is an issue with the Writers Guild strike as of the date of this. Not a strike, actually. It's a beef between the agents and the writers.
Look, I will tell you honestly.
Yeah.
You know, as we're talking here, one of the things that I have found difficult is to find good representation out here.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, and it's real.
Yeah.
Because you do need representation.
Yes.
You need, and I have a vision for what I'm building, the business that I'm building, and it's difficult to find people who understand what the whole picture is.
Yeah.
And who are willing to also help advise and work with me and help me make the best deals for the whole overall, you know, as opposed to some lawyers who just want to get paid.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
And they don't care. All they care about is that.
It's so funny because we are actually, that was the next thing on my topic, but I want to get back to that in one second. I want to give the listeners an idea of what option is. And that is when you give the producer, the studio, or somebody an option for X number of months to take this project and develop it into a book and then look, I mean, excuse me, a film or a TV series or whatever. Because I talk to people, you know, the listeners may or may not
right,
know.
Right, sure, so I sure, sure. Like to exactly. Give, yeah. And yeah, and in my work I do, I mean, yeah. I mean, someone is, well, someone is optioning Gotham Diaries yes. now. But yes, and I often option
yes.
as well.
Yeah, so, what do you... Okay, clearly telling African-American stories is your passion. Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned that you have a vision.
Right.
And so what is it that you want us to talk... That you want us to know? Like, what is your vision for, you know, Tanya mm-hmm. Lewis Lee's produced projects?
Yeah, you know, I think for me, it's sort of like... It goes back to... When I started with the children's books, mm-hmm. right? I remember my daughter being like 3 at the time and looking at television. I believe she was watching Rugrats at the time. And she's like, oh, they're gray. And she looked at her skin and said, oh, I'm gray. I mean, you know, oh, and it was like she was really
right.
trying to process,
yeah.
you know, this is what the world looks like. Do I look like the world? This is what the world looks mm-hmm. like. And so... For me and my work, it's really about trying to even the playing field about what the world really looks like mm-hmm. so that we can see ourselves mm-hmm. in all kinds of complexity and diversity of thought and ways of living.
Right.
You know, so it's very broad.
Right.
But really, to me, I love Black people. I live in... a Black world,
yep.
And an integrated world as well. And I don't see enough of those images out there, mm-hmm. and I want to contribute to that. At the same time, there are projects that can be very specifically activist, like mm-hmm. like Monster, now called All Rise, which really deals with the over incarceration of youth.
Yeah.
Or even like the Watkins Go to Birmingham, which like sort of served dual purpose for me yeah. because it was about family, mm-hmm. you know, and just seeing this Black family working through raising their children is radical to me
yeah.
as it is.
Right. And
right.
Especially back in the time of when that was.
Right.
What was that in the 50s, 60s?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
The
60s. Yeah. So that was a story that was a good story. Can we still find that?
Or yeah.
That...
Yeah. I'm sure it's somewhere.
Yeah. Right. But
Amazon,
again, right. Yeah. It's one of those places. Yeah. So, okay. So I was going to ask you what is special about your voice that you hope to come from films. And I think it's fairly important, like you said, to really take your vision and, you know, show people that not only the history, but the issues that we face.
Sure.
And, you know, and then giving them hope, you know, and I, you know, and it's really important to us as Black women. Mm-hmm. And if we have a platform in whatever way to use it, especially because we do have access to, you know, a lot of people and a lot of ideas and opportunities to tell these stories.
Yeah.
That people may, you know, that it, so it's incumbent upon us.
Well, it matters.
It does.
I mean,
it does.
It's like, to me, media is of the ultimate importance because it's setting our record.
Right.
It's how we see who we are. It's mm-hmm. how we deal with each other.
Yeah.
I mean, we can see that by the leadership in this administration right now, and the way they the way they act
yes.
is having an impact on the way we are all interacting with each other
it's,
now.
It is.
It's changing. I've seen it. Like,
yeah.
Where is the decency? Where is it that people communicate in
yeah.
a way that's just humane?
Yeah. Like there was no Barbecue Becky.
Right.
And the plethora
exactly.
of those type of things.
Exactly.
Before this administration.
Right.
Right. So it is incumbent upon us.
And so we have to counter
yes.
that.
Yes.
You know, and also work towards, you know, just so that we have healthy communities. Right.
Yes,
and,
that's right.
And it's mind, body, spirit, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that our environment, our bodies are healthy for our future.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah. And, you know, and really instilling that in our children, mm-hmm. in the next generation, and, you know, producing quality content, because that is something that stays around. Speaking of which, quality content,
yes.
Let's talk about She's Gotta Have It.
Okay.
Which is over 30 years. Mm-hmm. Oh, girl, I feel...
I know, it's
crazy. I mean, like, really, because I remember seeing that at the movie theater.
Right, I know, me too.
And when your first season at Netflix was around the 30th anniversary right. of She's Gotta Have It. So that's what I'm saying. Quality content really does stand the test of time.
It does.
And so a couple of things I want to talk about. Well, several things in relation to this. This is set up at Netflix, mm-hmm. which is a cutting edge studio. Mm-hmm. Did you find any differences in working with Netflix versus, you know, a traditional studio or a traditional platform that
you know, we had really great execs at Netflix.
Yeah.
And I think that, as in general, they really are supportive mm-hmm. of their creators. Mm-hmm. And so what I saw there was a sort of, you know, go make your show. It's your show.
Mm.
You know, I think, you know, as any network would, they have comments and notes
sure.
as they should.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, it's like, but it's okay. That's
yeah.
your show.
Right.
You know, the thing that's hard though is that, you know, they don't tell you the data, so you
yes.
know, so you don't
yeah.
really know
yeah.
who's watching, I mean, or how much. I mean, you get an idea,
yeah.
but you don't get the real scope, you
yeah.
know, because you don't have the ratings
yeah.
to go by. So it's a that's you're in the dark on a
yeah.
little bit.
And you know, I wonder, Netflix doesn't release anything. I'm trying to figure out how they make their money for
yeah, yeah, yeah.
you know, but they are very secretive, and I can imagine as a film
well, rates keep going
yeah
up, so
right
I don't know
yeah,
I just got a notice on that on mine,
girl. It's like now it's like $9.99 to $15.99.
Exactly.
Yes, but listen, it's quality content that we're getting.
Well, you know, it's like a drug dealer. You know, they get you in,
yeah,
like, you know, it's cheap.
That's
it's
right.
Cheap, it's $5. And the next thing you know, we're all going to be paying $500 a month for the service.
That's right.
And we can't give it up.
I know.
Now,
it's like we are hooked. That is a great example. And so this was Spike's first series as well.
Exactly.
Okay, so this was also the first time that you got to work with Spike in a formal fashion.
Well, in a long term.
Yeah.
Spike did he directed a couple of episodes for us for mm. Miracles Boys.
Okay.
But it was certainly, and that was really my production.
Yeah, but this is a collaborative.
And this
right?
was definitely more collaborative, and certainly, of course, I mean, he created Nola Darling, so, you know, and it's his baby.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, Nola Darling, again, talking about, you know, stories that will stand the test of time. I mean, she is a young woman. This is a story about I don't know if they're called millennials,
yeah.
but a millennial woman who is sexually fluid. But, you know, we can all relate to a lot of the things that she's going through with, you know, the dating drama,
right.
trying to find ourselves
right.
and navigating relationships with girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that is really a good story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
So how, when you did work with Spike on this one, because it was, again, a collaborative process, how was it working with your husband?
Mm-hmm.
And what did you learn from Spike on this one? Because, I mean, he is, we all know that Spike is, like, the iconic director. And, wait, just let me congratulate you all on that.
Well, thank you.
I mean, again, it took so long for Spike to win an Academy Award,
yeah.
like, for real. But, again, this is what I've been talking about this all over social media, but representation matters.
It does.
And Oscar's so white.
Yeah.
Back in 2015, 2016.
Fast forward to here.
That's right, because we had to make noise.
Exactly.
In order to get more black people
well,
and people of color into the Academy.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then when you get people into the Academy,
then it changes.
That's right, because you have a voting
block. Right.
That's right. And now, so congratulations
yeah.
on that.
Yeah.
And then the Time 100 and all the good
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
And
a
then,
lot of stuff going
oh,
on.
Girl, you guys are just killing
a lot
this.
Of stuff
is,
going
this
on.
Is good stuff. This is good stuff. So, anyway, so let's talk about what we learned from the iconic Spike Lee.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, working with Spike
yeah.
on the show based on something that he created. It has its own unique challenges.
Sure.
You know, certainly. But and it's funny because, you know, when you are also at the same time, even though he created her, he's a man.
That's right.
And men,
uh-huh.
men
that's a good
don't
point.
Always know
yes.
what they don't know.
That's right.
And so they think they know,
mm-hmm.
but they don't really,
right.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so there, I realized in certain moments that we were having conversations and he didn't understand what I was talking about.
Was he like mansplaining stuff?
Well, not just even mansplaining, but like there was just, it was just right. like
Mars and Venus conversation.
It's totally like, and, yeah. I realized in the conversation, oh, you're not. And again, not out of any sort of,
yeah.
they just, but just, it's just a, it's a blind spot.
Yeah.
You
it's
know?
A men are from Mars, women
and
from Venus.
And trying to, you know, and so, you know, sometimes we had to work on,
yeah.
you know, work on understanding yes. one another.
Yes. Yes.
But I think ultimately, I mean, you know, ultimately it was great. I
yeah.
mean, it really was a lot of fun to be working together. And
what was one thing that you can say,
away?
A good, one of the best lessons that you learned working
Look, I mean,
Spike.
The thing about Spike is, I mean, honestly, it's like he's always working. He is just the hardest working person I've ever
yeah.
seen. And, you know, hard work always pays off.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, bottom line, hard mm-hmm. work always pays
That's right.
off. It's, and then, I mean, up early, you
yeah.
know, to bed late, up early to bed late
mm-hmm.
every day. I mean, that's just what you do.
And the one thing that I can say about Spike is he is not afraid to be unpopular.
Right.
He is not afraid because he wants to tell our stories.
Right.
And I see that a lot in you and in Crystal and
well,
us and, you know.
And to your point on that, too, the other thing that I do think I am finally coming into as
yeah.
a takeaway, too, is just sort of that unrelenting trusting knowing oneself.
That's right.
And knowing that, no, I'm going to do it my way
mm-hmm.
because this is how it's going to be
right.
and I'm going to be the one who falls on the sword.
Yeah.
So you all may, you know, I'm the director.
Right.
And
right.
nobody else may understand what it is that
That's
I'm doing
right.
and
yeah.
you all may think I'm crazy.
Right.
But I'm doing it
yeah.
this way
yeah.
and I will fall on the sword.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me as an artist for myself, I am finally, you know,
mm.
getting to that place where it's like, no, I'm making, I know.
Right. So you've been a healthy advocate, as we talked about, for a while. I remember,
right.
you know, we used to talk about going to the gym all the time.
Right.
And, you know, but there's a difference in health and wellness and dieting and working out.
100%.
But there is also a tie-in with Movita, your organic multivitamin supplement, and she's got to have it.
Right.
So let's talk about that.
Well, it's not so much an actual
tie-in
but I mean, people have asked me,
yeah.
like, you know, and I just, you know, because I love that she's got to have it. Like, there are messages of health and wellness
yeah.
in there,
mm-hmm.
baked in there.
Yes.
I mean, like you said, I mean, her relationships working with her, relationships with her girlfriends,
yeah.
right? I mean, she goes to a therapist,
yes.
you know.
Which is so, that's such a good point for us, because
right.
we really, you know, like, we have to.
And power
yeah.
to, I mean, Spike did that in the movie.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
had her going to a therapist.
Yeah, that's true. A
back
long,
then.
Back then, 30
you
years
know,
ago, before it was even.
And I
yeah.
think it's healthy to see that.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
So, you know, dealing with issues of this young woman getting butt injections, you know,
right.
you know,
yes.
and her sense of
yes.
self
yes.
and the health and wellness issues of that,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I, what's so great is like we can integrate
yeah.
Messaging in the work. And
yeah.
That's always great. And I will say, too, with Movita, we did launch our multivitamin a couple years ago, but we just launched our prenatal and our beauty. So,
oh, okay.
We now have several products and more are coming.
And we talked about one over wine last time
right,
that I really
right.
think that we should.
Exactly. I'm working on that.
Oh my God.
It's so funny. I talked to my male scientists about that and they all kind of looked at me like,
and you're like, no, but it's real. Yeah, so this is for women over, you know, a certain age.
Right,
and
right.
I think that, you know, listen, we all need our health and wellness.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they're different. And there's prenatal. You have different stages
of
life. Men have a healthy vitamin over 50.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
We should too.
Exactly.
You know, hey, keep
exactly.
us looking all young.
And looking and feeling y'all young. Exactly.
There you have it.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's see. All right. Monster.
Yes.
Which is now All Rise.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was one of the most anticipated films at Sundance.
Yeah.
So, how did that make you feel? And I was reading something that said, well, how do you know? know, was so, you know, mostly, you know, highly anticipated, because there are a gazillion films, and what was it, over 30 films this year. And again, a number, this is like a record-breaking number, over 30 films that were produced by people of color in Sundance.
Well, and they're making an effort, it sounds
they
like.
They really are,
To, you know, be more inclusive, which they need to be.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And so that was picked up by Byron Allen, who used to produce this podcast before he got into his movies and then scrapped the whole podcast format and platform. But he's great to work with.
Oh my gosh,
he
amazing.
He is a really smart, smart guy.
He is.
Yeah.
And I appreciate him because he's also very clear and direct.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And, you know, I so far so good.
Yeah.
I'm really happy that he's the one who bought our film.
Yeah, and he's also another one. And people sleep on Byron Allen. They need to, you know, really, if you don't know who he is, people really need to know, because he is one who owns all.
And they will.
I mean,
what he's doing with entertainment studios, it's almost, it's still kind of new, and he's still building and coming.
Yeah, and before this film platform, which, you know, he has recently developed in the past couple of years, he had his studio, his television studio, where he owned and produced everything from, what was it, comics TV, Cars TV, the Judge shows, and owned all of that. So that is how this man became a multi-billionaire. And he is like one of the quietest kept billionaires, so that people that really don't understand. But another one people need to check out.
Yeah.
So talk to us about that process of producing such, I mean, you have Jennifer Hudson in it. Yeah. I mean, you have so many great
amazing
in it. So talk to us about that.
And John
Legend, this is so timely, because this just was picked up, or you know, this week.
It's great. I mean, Monster, first of all, the book is written by Walter Dean Myers, and it is a beloved book. Time magazine named it one of the all-time young adult novels. Still really read widely in schools. And I think part of what really draws people to it is it's a book written as a screenplay about this 17-year-old kid who's on trial for his part in a robbery that goes wrong, and his way of coping, I mean, he's a film student, but his way of coping is by writing the screenplay about what's happening to him. And I also, so it's that power of art to sort of illuminate in a different kind of way.
Yeah.
I think the story is about sort of like how one decision can change your life forever.
Yes.
And then on top of that, for us, it is also the over-incarceration of our youth, of our black boys. Our justice system is so black and white. There's no room for gray, you know. And when you see the film, for me, one of the questions is, what alternative did this kid really have?
Yes.
And how do we as a society, and how does our justice system manage that, you know? And so, because the book is so, the book itself is so great, and it's so beloved, it was kind of, I'm not going to say it was easy, but
you had a blueprint.
The talent came because they understood what it is.
Yes.
So, like, A$AP Rocky was like, oh yeah, that was what I was like, of course, that was like the one book that I absolutely read when I was in high school. Like, I love that book. Like, and I get, why.
Yeah.
Like that, he remembers reading that book in high school.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Jeffrey Wright, you know, knows the book, knows it with his son, you know. And we had John David Washington before he was in Black Klansman, who is in the film and so good, so very different. Very different than he was in Black Klansman. And as you said, Jennifer Hudson, and then, and then John Legend, I had reached out to him because of all the work that he does on, incarceration and over incarceration of, people in general. And once he read this, I was like, I know this is for you. And he read it and, you know, was happy to come on board. It's been so supportive. He wrote a great song for the film. And, you know, and I see the film as a tool to really talk about these issues and to try to make a difference, you know, in our world.
Got it. Well, all right. So we have covered just about everything, I think. And what's next for you?
Well, you know, I am in the beginning stages of working on a documentary. I've been looking at what's been happening out here in maternal mortality, black women dying in childbirth in this country. I really want to, it's black women are dying in childbirth, but even if you take black women out of it, white women aren't doing so well compared to the rest of the world. Really trying to get people to understand that, like, we need to care about black women dying. Because it impacts everybody, and we need to do something about it. I realize it's so funny. I had my children, I birthed my children by a doctor in a hospital, but now, knowing what I know now, and I was very fortunate in that I'd had natural births. I didn't have a cesarean. But knowing what I know now, if I could do it again, I might make different choices.
Oh, really?
And I want women to understand what other options there are for them. Because I think there's a better way to be giving birth, and a safer way for all of us.
Tanya, tell us where we can find you on social media.
I guess I'm out there on Instagram at Tanya Lewis Lee.
Tanya, thank you so much for joining us, Lisa, on The Legality. And we're dressed up because we're getting ready to go somewhere and have a little fun. But thank you, and I will hope you will come back and talk to us again after.
I look forward to it.
After the success of this movie. I'm so excited to see it. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm excited for you to see it, too.
Oh, good. Well, thank you for joining us on The Legality. And I'm your host, Lisa Bonner, and we are signing off.